Lovely. Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's JAS call on Tuesday, the 10th of January, we have Rafik Damak, Olivier Crétin-Leblanc, Carlton Samuels, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Kijani Benjima, Dev Anand Telugsing, Sadalos Aguirre, Bachelet, Martin Touré, Jean Greenberg, Harvey Doria. From staff, we have Cedula Valente, Senator Green, for Southeast Gruber. No apologies noted. I haven't left anyone off the list. I would also please remind you to state your names before speaking for benefit purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Colton and Rafik.
Thank you, Kinkana. Everybody for joining our call in the first one in 2012 and after really a long absence. So we have a quite short agenda for today. It's mostly to as response to the what the staff proposed as a implementation plan. So first we'll start with the review of a JAS response. It will be led by Avery. And then we'll move to the JAS application support program outline. I think maybe mostly we will focus on the SARP, which Carla sent a link, I think, yesterday or today. And the last item, it's about the registry service provider initiative, and it will be this will be led by Kathy. So let's start with the first item. Avery?
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. This is Avery. I guess that wasn't completely positive. What the area of JAS response to date, other than perhaps just a chronological of what's happened and a little bit on the JAS subgroup without going into the SARP, without going into the ASP itself. So what has basically happened, and I believe that I've written to the JAS list several times, is shortly before they came out with the applicant support program for that the board and staff combined group basically came through to, I believe, the chartering organization's chairs, and it filtered down to Carlton and I on the at large ALAC side, and to Rafik on the GNSO side, to basically inviting a group of JAS working group participants to form a subgroup that would work with the board and the staff in terms of A, having a first review of this, commenting on it, and then B, continuing longer term. So I had been asked by Olivier, with no apparent objection from anyone else, to try and get that quickly organized because they wanted to talk to us now. So the first suggestion I came up with was that the chairs from the JAS group, Carlton and Rafik, and myself as chair of the at-large new GTLD working group, and Evan as the liaison to that group from ALAC, were proposed first. Then there was basically Carlton deferred his seat on that to Cintra, and Evan deferred his seat to Alan. I may have it backwards, but anyhow, so that first group was Cintra, Rafik, Alan, and myself. We had one meeting with the board and the staff, brought up a few issues, and basically, you know, in that, and then they came out with their program. Now we're at a point where the board has basically come back and they want to have another meeting. There is this group. One of the first things I want to suggest, and this was already discussed yesterday in the new, in the at-large new GTLD working group, was that we want to add a member to this group, and the suggestion I made there, which was accepted by that group, but I'd also like it to be reviewed by Jazz, because one of the requirements is that these need to be Jazz members, and we had various volunteers at points that weren't Jazz members, and we said, no, this has been very specific. They want people that worked on producing the report. So partly because the board has five people, partly because I believe there's a deficiency in our little group of four at the moment, or not a deficiency, but a lack, is they suggested that Tijani join the group and bring it up to five, because he has been one of the strongest voices for clarity in the financial criteria. And if you look at the comments that are being suggested by the at-large new BTLD working group and the ALAC review that went in on the preliminary, is one of the things that we feel there's a real problem with is defining these criteria. And as you talk about the work leading up to the SARP, you'll see that among the things that they plan for this subgroup to work on is basically the training materials and SARP handbook, and I'm hoping, at least, it's, until we've had this next meeting, it's hard, but one of the things we've been pressing on is that Jazz Working Group members, not only this subgroup, but others as become necessary, get pulled into this to help the staff develop the handbook and the training materials for the SARP members, and also actually getting involved in helping to select the SARP members, that it seemed critical that we add someone with that very focused financial issue, financial criteria issue that Tijani has been the primary banner for. So I wanted to propose that to you, and you know, obviously it's for your chairs, for this group's chairs to figure out, yes, you guys accept that or not, but that's the proposal I've put there. So there have been responses. Today is the last day of the comment period on the application support program within the new GTLD working group and at large. We have put together a set of comments. We're going through a last 24-hour review on it at the moment, and I'll get those submitted before the end of the day. I think I've already given you all the URL for those. It would be good if Jazz had submitted comments, but we haven't. Of course, most of the members of the at-large new GTLD working group, though by no means all, were members of Jazz, so there's a lot there. So it's ongoing. It's the working group notion that we proposed is, I think, being accepted. It certainly, we're talking with the board, we're talking with the staff, to what degree we actually manage to have an effect on the SARP training materials, the background, the guidance, remains to be seen. But being a creature of eternal hope, I'm assuming that if we insist on doing it, we'll get to do it. I don't know if I covered what you expected me to cover, but you know, I'm open to questions or whatever. Oh, and by the way, I said I could only make the first half hour of this meeting. That still may be the case, but my other meeting that starts at the half hour has not been confirmed yet, so I may end up staying on the whole call. I don't know. Am I still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, is there any objection? It's not for me to call, but perhaps the chairs can call. Is there any objection to us adding Tijani to this Jazz subgroup that's working with the board and staff?
None from me.
None for me.
Fantastic.
None for me at all.
Then I'll send a message to you, Carla, but if you could accept that, yeah, I'll... I think the only new member that we're suggesting, unless Jazz is going to suggest something other, is that at this point we'd like to add Tajani to the group, and so that there'll be five Jazz members participating in that regular subgroup.
Thank you.
So unless people have questions for me, you know, I'm...
Yes, Avery, I understand that you also asked if the Jazz working group can make a comment, but I think it's almost impossible because the time constraint. Okay. But my understanding that there is ALAC working group, New CTLD working group statement.
Yes, there is. And I'll put the URL in the thing. I've got one more change to make to it that just came in from Alan that I haven't made yet. And then I'm basically going to, you know, in a few hours before the deadline, send that in. Now, if as a Jazz chairs, you know, Jazz wanted to just say they agree and endorse those comments, I think that would be a good thing. So then it would have the Jazz imprimatur. But I don't know if you can do that if you have time, but certainly that would be a good thing.
You know, we can make calls just to see if people, let people to check that statement and to, if they have objections or not. But what is the deadline? Because I always mess with the...
Deadline is midnight. It's 23:59 tonight, UTC time.
I think it's in 8 hours, so...
Yeah, something like that.
So we don't have so much time. The best is to okay, we have Alan in the queue, but I think the best is to...
Thank you. Given that we're supposed to be working under GNSO working group rules, the most we could say is the people on this call supported the statement, since otherwise you'd have to take some sort of poll on the mailing list, and I don't think there's time for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan, for pointing that out. I was about to make that out.
I think that works. Avery, do you have any specific questions?
I guess as a last thing, I'll certainly take, you know, since I'll be doing it anyway for the at-large new GTLD working group, I'll certainly take it as my responsibility to keep Jazz informed of what's going on, both on the email list and during any meetings that you guys may call. But certainly, you know, I'll keep the issues flowing into both mailing lists.
Okay. So we are supposed to this part for 50 minutes, but I think we can overlap with the second item, which is more outline about the Jazz application support program. And I think Carla can maybe give us more update on that matter, and share you with the last update about this SERP proposal. So if there is no objection, maybe we can move to that. So we can, because that's the hot topic now, if we can have some discussion, it will be really helpful. Carla?
Hi, Rafiq. So you want some discussion about the SERP?
Yeah.
Or the overall, what we're doing?
Yeah, just really maybe short overview. I'm not sure that everybody could read in time the proposal, so a short overview, and then people can maybe give some feedback. It will be helpful, especially this week, as we will have that call.
Oh, I see. So staff posted for public comment a proposed process and criteria for the applicant support program. So the applicant support program has financial support and non-financial support elements. No financial support at this point is the website we have to where people that are offering some kind of support and applicants seeking support can basically find each other. We are maintaining this web page. I have to see how many parties we have now, but we didn't have really that many parties joining that page. So I would be helpful if the Just Working Group could help us to spread the word about that. All the parties that are there, we believe, are legitimate. We try to confirm people and not simply just put a name there when they register. So there's still a confirmation process to authenticate, basically, whoever is submitting a form wishing to be part of this list. So this is one part of it, of this program. The second part of this program is basically financial assistance. So we incorporated or embraced the suggestion from the Jazz Working Group to have the fee reduced. So we are using the $2 million that was the seed money provided by the board to be able to reduce the fee to qualifying applicants or candidates from $185,000, which is the main evaluation fee, to $47,000. So basically that's it. Because we have $2 million and, you know, this is a set number, the idea is that we can help about, let me see, my math at 6 a.m. in Los Angeles here, about 14 applicants or candidates. There are certain scenarios that we consider. So, for example, you know, a candidate qualifies and receives high points, therefore receives the grant. There is a possibility that a qualifying candidate might not receive a grant because we don't basically have the money, you know, from the $2 million. And if this happens, we give the candidate the option to proceed, either coming up with, you know, their own money or to withdraw, in which case they would receive $42,000 refund. The difference between 47 and 42 is the $5,000 TAS, or TOD application system, application or registration fee, which incorporates some initial administrative tasks that take place. So the $5,000 are never refundable to any new JTOD applicant. So let me think. And we didn't have anything right now in the process and criteria that is being proposed by staff that relaxes the requirements that you see in the new JTOD applicant guidebook. There was not quite enough time to come up with, you know, different things and make some substantial changes. We are updating the handbook, or the draft handbook that was posted for public comment is being updated now. Some of the public comments are being incorporated, or trying to look how the best incorporate, you know, some of the comments in a way that doesn't change much or doesn't put at risk the launch of the new JTOD program. When we developed this applicant support program, we wanted to facilitate as much as possible for the applicant itself, but there was only so much changes that we could make to the test application system without compromising the launch because of their development cycle and security and some of the other things. Doing more than what we're doing right now would have been risky and complicated. So right now, a candidate that is willing to ask for financial assistance, they would register like any new JTOD applicant into the TAS system. Then they will find a button that will ask them, are you seeking financial assistance? And they should acknowledge saying yes. So there are some specific terms and conditions that come with that. So once they say yes, they would have access to downloading the application form. Right now, this form will be in Word document and is a fillable form. So the candidate for financial assistance will fill out all of the form and then upload back into TAS in PDF or any other a format that, you know, basically cannot alter the content. So we recommend PDF if they can. So they upload back the forms that are filled out and any additional documents that they believe helps to build their case for financial assistance, like letters of endorsement and so forth. You're going to see two forms. The reason why there are two forms is because there's the confidential part of the application and then the non-confidential. The non-confidential is the one that is going to be posted on the website. The confidential basically is the financial content that those candidates are going to submit, and this is only going for the SARP. The idea is that the SARP is going to receive, besides the forms and the supporting documents, also some information from the new GTOD application itself, not technical, nothing that really doesn't pertain to the financial assistance case that the candidate is built, but maybe financial assistance or financial information that is provided on the GTOD program. So we're still discussing about that. The SARP recruitment didn't start, obviously. We have shared with the board recently the idea of how this would work. So basically, we're incorporating also the suggestions by the JAS Working Group final report to have a mix of experts and community members in this review panel or evaluation panel. This group, we're thinking about having maybe two or three subgroups of SARP, so in case there's a conflict of interest, or in case there's something that needs to be further reviewed, we can use the different groups to do that for an application. We plan on starting recruiting SARP members soon. We're working on an RFP, or not necessarily an RFP, but we're working on having an announcement and start doing this kind of recruitment pretty soon. Let me see what else. I think, Rafiq, that pretty much sums it up. Avery, would you have anything else to add? Did I miss anything?
No, I think you covered. I think you covered it then.
Okay. We have Andrew and Tijen in the queue. So, Andrew?
First of all, thank you to everyone who's obviously put in a tremendous amount of really great work pushing all of this across the finish line. I had a couple of quick questions about the SARP process, and they may not be answered yet, or they may be things that are there that I just didn't see. But one of them was whether the assumption was that all the awardees are going to get the same amount, and another one was whether the assumption was that we're going to do all of this as one big batch, and if so, what's our time limit for how long we're going to leave our batch open? So those are the two procedural questions. The third question is that I'd very much like to be a participant in this in some way, but I think that the concern that we discussed before about being an all-volunteer army and the amount of time that's being requested is a lot. I'm wondering whether there's a possibility that you can make it possible with a little bit slightly lesser time commitment so that some of the members of the JAS who really do know these issues and really are committed to them can also participate without, you know, I mean, it's a lot of hours a week if I read it correctly. I'd like to get everybody's comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Tijani?
Thank you. Okay. Now it's okay. What I wanted to say is that for people who meet the criteria and are not funded, are not supported because of lack of money, they will pay $5,000, which is the TAS fees. And it is, for me, it's a very big problem. They are needy. They prove they are needy. They meet the criteria. So why we don't refund them completely?
just your question is for Carla?
Yes, it's for yes for Carla, especially.
Yeah, so I think that there were a few questions from Andrew, Rafik, and from Tijani. I could address all of them, if you're okay. Yeah, so Andrew, you asked whether or not all of the candidates would were going to receive the same amount, the qualifying candidates, and the answer is yes. All of them would receive $47,000. It's not that the money changes hands, meaning, you know, we're going to give a candidate $47,000. Basically, what we're doing is we would waiving the remainder. So instead of the $95,000, they pay $47,000, and they pay that in two different stages. At the beginning, registering test, the $5,000 non-refundable fee, and then they pay $42,000. So basically, this is it. We are developing also a fundraising. We are going to work and the elements of the fundraising and have not defined yet. So, for example, if we come up, you know, and are successful in fundraising activities, and by May we receive another $1 million or two or $3 million or whatever, what do we do with that money? Do we use that money for the to have additional candidates, the fees reduced, or do we use this money to maybe give support or financial support to the 14 or something qualifying candidates? It's hard to know since we don't know exactly how many candidates we're going to have. So for now, it's a set amount of financial assistance based on the $2 million. But again, if we are if we have this fundraising activities that we are developing right now successful and we are able to raise money, we need to look carefully on how we can help even more or have basically distribute this money still in the first round to the qualifying candidates. So I think that's one of the questions that I remember, Andrew. And the other one was, Johnny, the $5,000 non-refundable fee is to cover administrative costs. So there's costs to, once somebody registers in TAS, all of the applicants will go through an administrative cost for completeness on a background check and things like that. So the $5,000 are operational costs to be covered. And basically, they are non-refundable for any new GTOD applicant. And I must say that we need to be very careful with the deadline. So right now, the candidates for applicant support would follow the timelines that are on the new GTOD guidebook. So the opening of the new GTOD program, which happens this week, you know, the 12th, if I look at California date, actually it's 11 California because it's 4 o'clock on Wednesday. So it happens at the same time. So candidates would apply for financial support in the opening window of the new GTOD application. We need to be careful because the test registration deadline is earlier than the deadline for the final application. So basically you need to register in test, and once you do that, you have some time to, you know, complete your application. I think, Rafik, that I covered the main points that Andrew and Tijani raised. I hope I covered.
Yes, thank you, Carla. I think Carla wants to ask questions. Carla?
Thank you, Chair. There are two issues I wanted to raise. Carla noted, and I'm glad she did, that the TAS application deadline is before the general GTLD guideline. And I'm concerned about the promotion effort that has gone on to make possible applicant support applicants know about the program and this specific piece of information. I wanted to ask Carla if she has any update on the marketing, the promotion program for the applicant support, how that is going. That's the first thing. The second one I wanted to note is with the SARP. There's always been we had hope, and I'm going to use one of average terms, one of those persons who the members of the SARP group would include people who were, let us say, knowledgeable about gaming and the methodologies used for gaming. One of the things is that I know that, you know, we're not experts, but I certainly would want to have the jazz, and this is something I'm proposing, have a handle and a hand in this altogether. And I was proposing whether or not one of our own jazz persons would not be admitted even as an observer into the group. And I was going to propose if you think that is useful, because I think as laymen we might, having another layman with a watch brief might help us to understand even better than normal. I was going to propose that Andrew Mack, if he's willing to take up the mantle here, be allowed to be on a watching brief in the SARP panel. That is what I would propose to this group. Thank you.
Okay. Tala, do you want do you have any response to that?
I'm sorry, Tijan, you said my name, Carla?
It was Rafiq.
Okay. Oh, sorry, Rafiq.
Just asking if you have any comment about that. If I understand correctly, Carlton, he was suggesting that Andrew can maybe like be observer, but my understanding that at the first step there will be work on the training material, etc., to form before forming the SARP and selecting people. So maybe it's a little bit early to discuss if we have we need observer or not. But I think this comment is noted, and it's suggestion that we can propose in the next call.
Yeah, Rafiq, this is Carla. Can I make a comment on what Carlton just said?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, so Carlton made two comments. One is about the communication efforts. So the communication efforts, I understand the communications team has done some ads in developing countries. There was an announcement with some update done on January 6th on our website about this effort. In addition to that, we're going to have the handbook translated or available in the 6 United Nations languages as soon as possible and distributed. So basically, everything that goes out that is about the new GTOD program is going to have this applicant support element in it. So all of the new GTOD program communication efforts, you know, are kind of amended to incorporate the applicant support program efforts. So this is the extent of the details that I know. In relation to have an observer from the jazz working group, I think it's in general a good idea. The only element that I urge you to consider is confidentiality. You know, the financial, especially the financial aspects of all of the candidates. So the SARP, once we develop that group, and it's, again, this group is supposed to be a mix of experts, like people able to judge things, you know, financially, et cetera, and community groups. We need to be careful to have in this group people that do not have conflict of interest and will truly deal with all of the applications with confidentiality. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. Any comments?
This is Carlton.
Okay. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, Rafiq. This is to respond to Carla and the communications effort. I'm glad to see that I'm happy to hear that the communications effort is going to be one that is embraced by the general communications for the GTLD program. I am still a little bit concerned, though, that maybe we couldn't do something extra in the areas where we expect applicants who might be seeking a support to be. So if you go with the proposition that the GTLD communications effort is global and worldwide, I'm just suggesting that maybe in the areas where we expect applicant support participants, we might do that little bit more and emphasize them. I am also suggesting that in those areas, the traditional methods by which you access and get to people is probably a little bit less involved, and I would not wish for the communications team to overlook the role that radio plays in these areas. And I would suggest to them that in the areas of the world where they expect applicant support, they might broaden their communication channel choices by adding radio as a part of the mix and emphasizing the applicant support program in fitness for a radio kind of channel. Thank you.
I will pass that on to them. Carlton, thank you.
Thank you, Carlton. Thank you, Carla. So, you have any further comment on that matter? I think we have really good feedback about the SRP. It will be really helpful. Okay. Sebastian, please go ahead.
Me? Yes. I am quite concerned with the way the discussion is going on some topics. I am not sure that I understand the same thing that Carla tells us when I am in other group, and I don't know how we will handle at the end, because we have now three different subgroups working on the same issue, and I don't know who is passing the information. My understanding, and I may be wrong, but it's not the same that Carla, and I don't know who is right and who is wrong. But my understanding was, if we raise more money than the $2 million from ICANN, it will go for the next candidates who are on the list, the 15, the 16, the 17. If we use all the money, if we give the money to all the applicants on this list, and if there are some money left, then that's another question we will have to talk about one day. But for the moment, the question is how we apply or help as much as possible needy applicants. I don't know who is right, but I don't want to leave here something that, from my point of view, it's not yet settled. I am, as Carlton, very concerned with the communication, not just for the needy applicant, in generally speaking. I am concerned we will once again have a lot of communication in Washington in 2 days, and we don't have any plan for any communication elsewhere in this world. and that's not the right way we need to go. We are an international organization, and I know that I am not at the right place and at the right to say all that, but I wanted to share with you my concern and to tell you one additional point. I am currently in Trinidad and Tobago. I was invited by Isaac in Trinidad, and I make a press conference yesterday, and I will make other speech, and I speak about the new DTLD program, but also very much with a program for the applicant, even if it's not yet settled. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sebastian. I really agree about the issue about the communication raises that issue, that problem.
The first part of that one. No wonder.
I think there was some. It would be great if ICANN cooperated with the community in the different countries to raise awareness about the new GTLD program. Maybe it's a little bit too late now, but if we can fix that, somehow it will be great. Alex? No, it's Alan. Alan, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. My understanding was similar to Sebastian's in terms of if we raise additional money, that the primary intent is that it go to funding more, a larger number of applicants. The only proviso to that is if a donor says they're targeting the money for specific, you know, for some other specific part of applicant support, then clearly we would have to honor that. But the first priority would be to increase the number. So I believe Sebastian's interpretation is certainly the well. It is certainly the one I had as well. Thank you.
Rafiq, this is Carla. Can I comment?
Yeah.
So Sebastian and Alan, I thought that was what I said, and if it was not, I'm sorry. But my understanding is that it would go to more candidates, but since we don't know the number of candidates, and if we raise more money, I think the idea was what do we do with this additional money? For example, we have only 10 qualifying applicants. And I thought I said the same thing, and if I didn't, you know, I'm sorry.
No, my understanding of what you, it's Alan speaking, my understanding of what you said is we would decide later if it goes to more applicants or other things, and, you know, I agree with what you just said right now, that if we end up with more money than we can use with the applicant pool that has passed the criteria, that's a different question.
Right.
But the first priority will be simply to increase the number of applicants if there is additional funding. Thank you.
Thank you. So we have 15 minutes left in this call. Any further comment or question? So otherwise we can move to the next item if Katim is ready. Okay. Hitting it on. Is Katim still in the call?
He might be. Is this Carlton? He was muted, so.
Yeah, I am Rafiq.
Okay, he's there.
Hello, Katim.
I was actually on mute, and which is why it took me a bit while to respond to Rafiq. And good day, good evening, everybody, and Happy New Year to all of you. Good to join your call again. And thanks very much to Carlton for inviting me to join the call. And just very briefly, this idea that I first actually broached to Carlton and Hartmut in the car, because one of the things I was thinking about was that one problem we could solve is the problem of getting registry services for needy applicants, especially those from developing countries. And I thought to myself, why not have these needy applicants come together and set up an independent not-for-profit organization that would provide them the registry services, which they would own themselves. And then they would pay these organizations based on their use of the services of the organization. And further, I would also like to see this as a South-South cooperation framework kind of an endeavor, whereby maybe you can have some of the more well-to-do developing countries or emerging markets countries, take your pick, would be able to provide some of the expertise that they have to some of the less endowed developing countries. I have actually, in the course of the call, during the call, just clobbered together a very short email which I shared with you on the list, and I've already received feedback from Michelle. And so that basically is the crux of the idea, that basically we are a not-for-profit independent organization to set up. And then also I suggested that in the meantime, and this is just pretty much on the lines of what Carlton suggested to me a couple of days ago, that even before this not-for-profit is set up, maybe the such services can be set up by an existing organization, one of which could be the BRNIC, or COCA, or or some similar organization. But the idea here would be that you have an organization that would sort of like host these services and or the organization before it's properly constituted. And of course, the question that we asked that is there would be, we don't even know who the new GTLD needy applicants would be. How many there are going to be? In other words, would we not put the cart before the horse? And I think maybe what we can do is have an organization commit to providing these services, and once the lead applicants are identified, and those of them that are interested in participating in such an initiative have said so, they can begin to do the legwork themselves of setting up the organization and identifying what entities that will be able to provide them the services that they will need, until their not-for-profit organization is properly constituted and has the wherewithal to provide the services that they would need. So, again, this very briefly is the idea, and, you know, it's open to further suggestions and comments, and if you think it's something worth pursuing, we can discuss the modalities of actually moving it forward. And very briefly, I also would suggest that we should have an organization that's independent of ICANN, by which I mean that it will be its own organization. ICANN certainly, as other stakeholders, if they want to provide support, financial or whatever have you, they're more than welcome to. But the idea here is that the organization's affairs will run completely independently of ICANN. And of course, the registry services that it provides would also have to abide by ICANN policies and rules and regulations. Okay? Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah. Thank you, Katin.
Thanks.
So, any question? Just to clarify, Katin, what are you suggesting is not just one registry service provider, but different one in different developing regions?
I don't quite understand your question, Rafiq. What do you mean? Like, could you phrase it again? And
I mean that if I understand correctly from your emails and what you explained, so you are suggesting like this idea of registry server provider with support of some existing organization and also mm-hmm. from maybe some developing countries, but it will be only one, so it should be only in one region, or the idea is that we have, maybe we can have several registered service provider in the different developing regions.
Okay, yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, the way I see it is that I think, in my mind at least, it would most ideally have one global registry service provider, because that way you're better able to leverage the number of needy applicants from all developing countries, you know? But of course, that shouldn't stop that one organization from having regional offices that would better serve its members in the various regions. That's one approach. The other approach, of course, would be, like you were saying, that you have regional registries set up so that it will pretty much be along the lines of the regional internet registries, you know. That's one option. I think at the end of the day, which option is going to be taken, if any of these options indeed are taken, would be dependent on basically what the needs of the communities would be and how they want to go about solving those needs.
Thank you, Patty.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I don't looks that my Adobe Connect is freezing. There is someone in the queue who wants to ask a question? Okay. Thank you again, Katim, for the proposal and for the
My pleasure.
Thank you very much. So we have.
Okay, thanks. And hi, Sebastian.
Sorry?
No, I was just saying hi to Sebastian.
Okay, Sebastian. We have Carlton, I think, and Sebastian.
Yeah,
okay, that's fine.
Hello, everybody. Hi.
Okay, Sebastian.
Yes.
You heard the question because
No, Rafiq, it wasn't a question. I was just saying hi to him, huh?
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Katrin. Thank you.
That's right. Yeah.
Sorry for the confusion. Carlton, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafiq. One of the things that I've been bedeviling us is how you could strengthen a registry and find a way to have them mutually support each other to viability. And we've been grappling with the idea of the service provider and building capacity in the middle-income countries and lower-income countries in the event that we have applicants that finally get through the GTLD process by way of the applicant support program. And I think this is just one idea that might enable the answer to that question. And I would urge all the members who believe that sustainability and capacity development in middle-income and low-income countries and regions of the world should be a part of the program to give us some kind of digital independence. It is important that we have more of these ideas, and it may not be come on stream in time for the applicant support program, but I definitely believe that if for those of us who are interested in that question and a possible answer for it, that ideas like these we have to float and see what people think so we can get some traction. So that is what I want to emphasize, that this idea is about building capacity in the areas of the world where we need to have greater access to digital economy. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlton.
Thanks, Rafiq. And if I could just say very briefly.
Yes, Katim?
Yeah, I just wanted, just along the lines of what Carlton was saying, and thanks, Carlton. I think what I'd like to see is maybe people give it a little bit more time. I don't expect that they will say yes or no to this right now. They can take their time and think about it and discuss it with other people that they want to discuss this with. And then take it from there. I mean, if at all it's something that people feel is not really worth pursuing, that's no problem. If at all they think we should pursue it, then I will be happy to work with the community and all of those interested in this to see how best we can implement. And again, thanks very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Patin. I think we should just be out 2 minutes left in the call today. So just to confirm about the endorsement of the UGTAD working group statement for the public comment. So my understanding, so we have no objection from people attending this call. And I think also that maybe we can add a point about the communications issue, the concern about the communication. So is there any objection about that? Because we need to proceed quickly before the deadline. Okay. I don't think there is no objection. And okay, Alex, yes, please go ahead.
Thanks, everybody. I was on mute. I think it's not an objection, it's a support about the communication, because I think if we cannot even get that communication, some of us who are on the working group, then I really fear that the larger populace of where we represent, whether they are online or offline, they'll probably not get online because they don't have the information. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Okay, so I think that we will proceed that way. So we will try to prepare quickly a statement to endorse the new GAD HALAC working group statement, and also add a point about communication concerns. So we should now 1 hour in our call. I want to thanks everybody for joining today. And hopefully we will have other calls to respond to different issues related to implementation plan. Thank you, everybody, and see you soon.